The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
You're hearing The Bill Myers Show on Southern Oregon's home for conservative talk. Mornings on KMED at 99.3 KBXG. Call Bill at 770-5633. That's 770-KMED. Here's Bill Meyer.
Proud to bring on Paul Hanson. Paul and Charlene Princeton end up... Paul and Charlene Princeton. Paul Hanson used to be my old partner years ago. Sorry about that, Paul Princeton, but great to have you back on. Welcome to the show, sir.
All right. Yeah, thank you.
Hey, Paul, you ended up sharing me an email late on Sunday night. I read it on the air yesterday morning, and it is chilling in its import and its implications of what's going on out here on the left coast, the West Coast, with your eldest daughter and your granddaughter, and your granddaughter, 8 years old, Jewish, half Jewish by ethnicity, right? Because you're Dutch, daughter's Dutch, and then married a naturalized Israeli American citizen, right? So that's how that ended up happening. So your granddaughter ends up going to Jewish summer camp. No big deal, right? And so, just to pick up the story of where this, because I shared this yesterday, people just can't believe it really happened here on the West Coast. But tell us what happened with your granddaughter when they went to the Shake Shack.
Well, they went to the Shake Shack, and at the cash register, the servant there noticed her T-shirt, which was from the summer camp. And so my granddaughter enthusiastically tells about the camp, just as a little kid would do, an eight-year-old. And all of a sudden, this idiot turns totally vicious and starts berating her and just tears into her.
What sort of things did he did this? And it was a female at the register, right? The server?
Yeah. Right? I don't know what he said exactly. My daughter, who could handle something like that brilliantly, would have shredded her to bits verbally. I know that she can do that, and left her in a pile of rubble. Didn't want to do that with her daughter there, so she tried to calm things down. And when they left, this idiot started yelling, "Free Palestine! Free Palestine!" Mm-hmm. So the thing that's most upsetting is that nobody, including the manager, did anything and just let this go on. I think it gave this woman the endorphin kick that she was doing the right thing and standing up and stuff.
Oh, so hey, I know that. I know picking on an eight-year-old who went to Jewish summer camp, I know that would make me feel really big. Wow.
No. So it's... So it's this anti-Semitism that's coming back. Then outside, they were waiting to cross. And as they crossed, and next to her were two hoodies, which is kind of the normal attire there. No big deal there. But they must have overheard. And when they had a chance, they tried to push and did push my daughter into traffic in hopes to hurt her, because they had overheard what my daughter was saying to my granddaughter to calm things down a bit.
Okay, so not only does the Shake Shack person then, yelling at the eight-year-old granddaughter and Free Palestine, all the rest of it, so they leave the Shake Shack, go out, and so a couple of Portland Antifa-type thugs, essentially, is what we're talking
about,
left thugs, try to push them into traffic. Now, that's not about hurting them. That's about killing, potentially killing them, because that's what could have happened to your daughter and granddaughter.
I know, yeah. So I think two things are important. One, it could have happened anywhere. So I want to take the focus off Shake Shack. They just seem to have poor management that can't handle something like that. The other thing, I think I sent my letter to a good friend of mine, our neighbor in Pittsburgh, Jewish.
Oh, the neighbor that got married in the synagogue, you got shot up, right?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Marriage, The wedding was a terrific ceremony, and lots of singing, clapping. The hair of his sister started on fire to add to the festivities. It was great. Anyway, wonderful guy. Now, he sent me back a short email. Let me read it to you.
Okay.
Anti-Semitism never goes away. It's always lurking just under the surface. Back when anti-Muslim hate was being pushed, I was upset by it. Ari, that's his son, asked me why, as a Jew, was upset. I told him that once that particular kind of hate is normalized, sooner or later they will come for the Jews. Sometimes I hate to be right.
You know, that's really interesting. So you had Jews that were concerned about this is going back in 9/11 time, right? 9/11
right.
time, especially in our country, when a lot of nastiness came to anybody who had the misfortune of being Arab, right?
Right, right. Mm-hmm. So he saw that coming already.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's significant. And it's always, if you, Soros, for instance, bad guy, very bad guy, Jewish. But then you have Klaus Schwab, equally bad guy, and, you don't hear about that he's German and that his father had a factory that was working for the Nazis and was highly rated by the Nazis and that sort of thing. So there always seems to be this thing about the Jews. And so anti-Semitism is there.
Paul, could you reposition your phone? We're losing your cell signal wherever you are.
Okay.
There we go. Got you back.
So anyway, okay. So there's always this anti-Semitism that's always there. That seems to be persistent.
How is your granddaughter handling this, and your daughter, for that matter? What has happened since the incident, which was last week at some point, right?
I really don't know. I know that my daughter is taking some steps, talking to the Anti-Defamation League, and also she probably already made contact with the store. Yesterday, there was an opening at that store all of a sudden. So
there is a possibility that maybe they fired the person, the hardcore leftist who went off on an eight year old,
right.
just talking about going to Jewish summer camp. That's a pretty scary stuff there.
Yeah, well, the manager should have jumped in immediately and said, "Whoa, wait a second, we're so and you to this woman." To the back a moment,
that's something I was wondering. Why do you think that that management? Well, of course, you have to wonder if management, if the manager that was on duty, was actually in agreement with that, and then didn't feel like standing up. But I would dare say, does everybody in Portland feel the way that server did at that particular restaurant? You have to wonder.
No. I think a lot of people hate what's going on in Portland, but they don't dare say anything. I went on a camping trip with my son-in-law, my other son-in-law, and friends, and we discussed Portland. No, they all hate what's going on. I don't know how they vote, but they don't say anything. It's just, you just take it in stride, apparently.
Yeah.
I was at a protest this was early when this Gaza thing went down the Jewish contingent came out in support of Israel, and so we're there and I see an old man laying there, and I didn't know if he was dead or what, so I go to one of these people and say, hey, this guy needs help. I look at him. Oh, he's just passed out from drugs. Don't worry about it.
Just passed out from drugs. Okay. Nothing to worry. Just a normal day. Normal day in PDX,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there is that. But don't think it's just Portland, okay? If you go on West Main, about at Bi-Mart there, across there on the fence, you see all kind of anti-Israel, pro-Palestine graffiti. I know, just the other day. I don't know if they cleared it up.
So this was over on West Main, you said? Everywhere. West Main in Medford, right?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah. So I don't want to pick on Portland too much. I mean, yes, that it's worse by degrees, but still, it's here too.
Yeah,
I don't want to pick on Shake Shack. It was started by a Jewish Mr. Meyer. I don't think that's real.
Yeah, well, I'm sure the owners of Shake Shack were not happy with what happened. And you're right. I don't think that we should be blaming Shake Shack. It'd be different if that was the Shake Shack official policy. Well, yes, this is our official policy. We're going to berate 8-year-olds who went to Jewish summer camp when they come, you know, for a hamburger and a shake, that kind of thing.
So that's of course not the case.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not like going woke like Bud Light or something.
Harley.
So yeah,
I guess Harley's going woke too. In many cases, it's yikes.
Yeah. Well, now they just turned around. Yeah. As did John Deere. Yeah, we live in strange times.
Yeah, and we do. Paul Princeton, once again. Paul Princeton, a local resident here. Paul, I wanted to ask you a question, though, about the hoodies. You know, what really disturbs me even more than the server at the restaurant berating your granddaughter and daughter, okay, involved this over Jewish ethnicity, et cetera. What really concerns me, though, the hoodies, because that was homicidal violence that was attempted to be brought on your family, on members of your family. And has there been any access or any ability to get any access to security footage from the restaurant, either outside, because there seem to be cameras everywhere, you know, in Portland? Has there been any look into that?
I don't know. No, I don't think there was. I don't know. The police, they're not doing a lot of things like that. Which brings me to another thing. What I find, so these hoodies are like the shock troops.
Oh, yeah,
that's
the shock troops,
kind
yeah.
of starts.
Yeah.
But how does it finish? Get the goons that and arrest people and so forth. Now, it's quite a job to Tampon Tim. Who let
Minneapolis burn for days before doing anything?
Yeah. And the police didn't say, "Hey, wait a second, we're supposed to do that to protect the citizens, and we're going to do it anyway." Don't care what just didn't happen. But what did happen is that he sent these people, these policemen, into the neighborhood when there was a lockdown, and the police started shooting paintballs at people that weren't indoors.
Yeah, in other words, they were violating the governor's COVID orders, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So there will always be goons available to the government when the time comes to pick up people, do harm to them, put them in camps, whatever, torture them. That is the scary part.
Well, the part that I think is scarier, though, is when people talk about nonviolence. I don't know. When people are doing violence to you, I think that that when people commit physical violence, like what was done to your daughter and granddaughter there, if there is not an ability or willingness to use equal, if not greater, force in reverse, because you're dealing with animals, you're dealing with animalistic behavior. And you can reason with people who are not animals, but when people descend to animals, the only correction can be a physical correction, in my view. I don't think you necessarily agree with me on this, but you can argue and reason with reasonable people, but when you're not dealing with reasonable people who have descended into brutal animalistic behavior, the only thing I think that solves it is, frankly, physical response that gets them in a situation where they can't, where they can no longer harm people.
Yeah, well, I agree. I mean, the best thing would have been for this woman to get a spanking with a rock beater or something, not a baseball bat. That's
yeah,
too harsh.
I know.
Kinetic data transfer on what's right and what's wrong. That will stick in their memory.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking especially, though, the hoodies are, see, that's it, because they were trying to kill your family members. You don't try to push an 8-year-old and the mother out into traffic in Portland just to thinking that they're going to get their knee skimmed or something like that. This is homicidal. This is attempted homicide. And
it's like a drive-by shooting or so. That's how far the society has fallen, and nobody lifts a finger.
Yeah. Well, I would hope, though, that that your daughter, your eldest daughter, will do a little search, because I'm almost more concerned about the hoodies getting away with that kind of behavior, thinking that this is perfectly acceptable to shove people and try to kill them out in traffic, you know? And that bugs me.
Yeah.
That bothers me almost more than, yeah, the anti-Semitic rant is bad enough, but that was talking about grievous injury, grievous insult along with injury attempted against them. So I'm hoping that...
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely.
Yeah, they'll look a little more into that. So, Paul, I appreciate you telling the story yourself, too. Thanks for so much for joining me, and I'm hoping that we get to the bottom of this one, and I don't think it could be let go of. Would you agree, or are you just kind of hoping this just goes away?
Well, it's not up to me to do things about it so much as it is up to my daughter.
Yeah, it's up to your daughter, for sure. Yeah.
And she is taking steps. And also the Jewish community knows about it now. So, and they're a formidable force. I can see them go into that restaurant and with T-shirts, so, and see what happens. And if the server there or the cashier or whatever, if she starts going anti-Semitic, they'll jump on her and let her have a piece of mind and the business.
Yeah, agreed. Paul Prince with me this morning, and we were talking about this anti-Semitic situation out of Portland last week. And I think someone may have a question for you. I don't know. Do you have a question for Paul? Welcome. Who's this?
Hi, Bill. It's Francine. And I want to say I'm really upset about what happened to his whole family, but the child, the granddaughter. I mean, that's got to have scarred her, and it's just, it makes me crazy. But what I'm really concerned about, that I keep hearing, people don't want to say anything. They don't want to get involved. Well, that's exactly what was happening in Germany. You know, nobody wanted to speak up because it's
happened in Germany. It's what happened in communist China, communist Russia,
yes.
You know, all the other things as you slide into totalitarianism and the others, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's just horrible. I'm really concerned, and I just want to wish your granddaughter the best. I hope she's not, permanently traumatized by this. This is horrible.
All right.
She's a strong girl. She'll manage that.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, Francine. I appreciate your concern. All right. Just know we're behind you, Paul. We are behind you and your family there.
Well, thank you very much, Bill.
And if there's anything else that we can do as far as, spreading some information about that. You mind if I pass your information along to Lars? Have you done that yet, or have you reached out to Lars?
No, I'm not so sure what to go on Lars' show. That's a bit big.
Okay.
I don't know. Mm.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you came on here, though. Thanks so much, okay?
Okay. Thanks, Bill. Yeah.
Bye. Paul Prinsen, 7:30. You're on KMED, 99.3 KBXG. You're waking up with the Bill Myers Show.
Well, you know it's Orly, Stovin's, Foz. We both recommend.
Now I told you where, let us tell you why. You ought to stop and see our friend.
Hey, it's Lamont here from Orly's. Now is the time to stop by to add warmth, savings, and value to your home with a Blaze King, the most efficient, longest-burning wood stove available. With a burn time of up to 40 hours, a Blaze King produces constant, thermostatically controlled heat for any size home. When you choose a Blaze King, you'll be saving big on your heating costs while burning less wood in one of the lowest emission stoves available. Beat the price increases and the weather now. Come into Orleans for a limited time and get a record-breaking 30% tax credit off qualifying wood or pellet stoves and installation. Orleans has the largest selection of qualifying units in Southern Oregon. And don't forget to ask us about our easy financing. Remember, Orleans is Southern Oregon's largest Cal Spas dealer at the corner of Delta Waters and Crater Lake Highway.
The threat of wildfire poses a growing risk to Oregonians. And recent wildfires have provided some important lessons. You can prepare now by taking three important steps. Step one, contact your insurance company to make sure you have the right amounts and types of coverage. Step two, create a home inventory by taking photos or videos of your possessions in each room of your home. Step three, gather and make copies of important identifying and financial documents. Store them in the cloud or another secure location. These three actions can help you and your community be more resilient in the face of wildfire. Be wildfire ready by being insurance ready. Visit dfr.oregon.gov/preparenow to learn how. This message brought to you by the Oregon Division of Financial Regulation, the Oregon Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
News Talk 106.3 KMET. This is the Bill Myers Show.
Delighted you're here, 7:32. By the way, Congressman Cliff Benz joins me shortly after 8 o'clock, and we're going to talk about some of the issues. He's going to have a town hall meeting at 10 o'clock this morning, and that's going to be at the Jackson County Expo. That's where he's putting that on, if you wanted to go out there and meet him and find out what's going on before he ends up going over to, Merrill? Klamath Falls area is where he's doing another one this afternoon. Yeah, running around, it's Town Hall Central today here, okay? 7:33, of course, we're talking with Paul Princeton about the anti-Semitic actions against his family's daughter and granddaughter last week in Portland. And, hey, Jane, you wanted to weigh in on that. You think we're turning into the Nazis, you think? Really?
I think history is repeating itself again, and I do believe we're becoming Nazi Germany in America. And it just seems like we're all on the same script, or it's a matter of the timing.
Well, are we all turning into Nazis, or are we in danger of turning into the good German who really said nothing, even though they knew something was wrong? Maybe that would be more accurate. Would that be more accurate?
Yeah, the German people, the good, like you said, the good Germans did not like what was happening in their country. But then again, look what's happening in our country, and do we like that?
Well, point well taken. Thank you, Gene. 7:34, we'll catch up on the rest of the news here in just a moment. Josephine County Commissioner Herman Bearchicker joins me, and he wants to clear the air. I've about had it with the... I'm just going to give you, I don't even live in Josephine County, right? But I've had it up to here with the Bullstein of the recall committees. And yes, Lily Morgan, if you were to come on the program, I'd be happy to talk with you about that Bullstein recall petition that you're working right now, along with all the rest of it. I'm just kind of, that whole thing irritates me. And like, I don't even have a dog in the fight. But anyway, 7:34 KBD. Also coming up next hour, probably after Congressman Cliff Benz takes off, we're going to have a Diner 62 Real American Quiz. Real American Quiz, $20 gift certificate that you can win. And if you haven't won it in the last 60 days, hey, maybe you can win it this morning, okay?
Did you know that with Good Guys Guns Background Concierge Service, customers get approved the same day? And for under 21-year-old customers, Good Guys Guns at 4934 Crater Lake Avenue gets you approved in half the time of the big box stores. That's right, Good Guys Background Concierge Service gets you your firearm faster than the other guys. And this service is free with every firearm purchase. Good Guys Guns, the Valley's firearm leader, 4934 Crater Lake Avenue. Good Guys Guns.
Good Guys Guns.
News is sponsored by Millett Construction, specializing in foundation repair and replacement. Get on solid ground by visiting MilletConstruction.com.
From the KMED News Center, here's what's going on. A Grants Pass man is charged with intentionally derailing a freight train in the Union Pacific Rail Yard in Klamath Falls on August 12th. As a freight train was passing, Craig Sadler is accused of pulling the switch, sending four rail cars off the tracks and causing $1 million in damage. Police found Sadler less than a mile away. Businesses are lining up to kill a ballot measure that would create a massive new tax on businesses large and small to give all Oregonians $1,600 a year. Grocers, insurers, timber companies, and other businesses from inside and outside Oregon have dropped almost $6 million to fight ballot measure 118 that would increase prices and potentially cost jobs. Democratic Oregon Governor Tina Kotek is following in Kate Brown's footsteps. The 2024 Morning Consult poll of all 50 state governors places Kotek at the bottom of the poll as the least approved and least liked governor in America. I'm Bill London, KMED.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. He didn't make it onto the stage until after 11 p.m., but President Biden got a hero's welcome nonetheless at the Democratic National Convention last night, passing the torch to Vice President Kamala Harris. And thousands of anti-Israel protesters have been holding raucous demonstrations outside of the convention venue, and there have been some arrests. This week, the Trump campaign is focusing on battleground states. Today, the former president due to campaign in Michigan. Yesterday, he was in Pennsylvania. Six more bodies have been recovered by Israel's military hostages. They were taken captive by Hamas in its terror attack on Israel on October 7th. Sentencing set for February 7th for former New York Congressman George Santos, pleading guilty to wire fraud and aggravated ID theft. On Wall Street, the Dow down 38 points. The Nasdaq is off 43. More details, srnnews.com.
This hour of The Bill Meyer Show is proudly sponsored by Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros on Main Street in Phoenix.
Hi, it's Jolene with Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros. We've got summer savings on quality Continental tires. Through August, get a $110 Visa prepaid card in the mail when you purchase a set of qualifying tires for your truck, SUV, or van. And there's 16 different popular styles to choose from, including Cross Contact, 4x4 Contact, Terrain Contact, and Premium Contact. Continental is one of our most recommended tire brands, so if you need a set for your truck, SUV, or van, come see us at Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros in Phoenix.
With so many working and doing business from home, it's good to know there's a community business center to help. A Street Print and Parcel is a one-stop shop for everything from large format printing and scanning to blueprints, architectural plans, and shipping. Their Studio 10 expansion offers passport photos, photo mounting, fine art scanning, art reproductions, signs and banners, negative and slide scanning, canvas prints, and so much more. Located in Ashland on A Street across from Ashland Hardware. Their motto, we create it, print it, pack it, and ship it. A Street Print and Parcel and Studio 10.
If you're remodeling your house, start with the foundation. Millett Construction offers a no-pressure, thorough inspection of your home's foundation and a no-obligation estimate if your house needs work. The foundation is most important because all of the repairs and upgrades you're planning, from the floors, windows, doors, cabinets, even the roof, can be affected if your foundation is unstable. Be sure you're on solid ground. Millett Construction will level your house and correct the shifting soil problem. Visit MilletConstruction.com.
The Rogue Gardener, fertilizing your mind.
Adding some fertilizer to stimulate growth can be okay. I don't even do it anymore with trees and shrubs, but I do it with short-term crops, vegetables, annuals. Every day that you lose with those plants without having growth-type fertilizers to help them get growing, not established, because I'm not worried about the plant establishing in the hole. I want it to grow.
Talk to Stan Saturdays 10 to noon, Sunday morning encore at 9, The Rogue Gardener on KMED, sponsored by Grange Co-op.
Hi, I'm Steve Potter, body shop manager at Lithia Body and Paint, and I'm on 106.7 KMED.
20 before 8, what do you know? A Democrat is lying in Southern Oregon when they're running for office. Can't help but think that. I know Republicans can tell their tales too, but I'm looking at what's going on, the mess in Josephine County. I'm just shaking my head today, and I don't even live in Josephine County. Proud to broadcast in it, though. Josephine County Commissioner Berchiger joins me, of course, a former Oregon Republican Party chair and former state senator, too, for that matter. And this is your last year. You're going to be out of the county commission end of the year, right?
That's correct. Yep. December 3rd. Well, January something is my last day, whenever the next person takes office.
Okay. Well, let's have a little conversation about these, the recall petition first. And I've also noticed some amazing whoppers, in my opinion, being told by Pat Fahey, who appears to be.
Yes. Now,
is that the list here, the five complaints about what's going on here? And I know that the Democratic Party is really upset because they didn't get their charter changes. They didn't get their five commissioners. So they're really, really, really upset and continuing to have a hissy fit in Joe County, in my opinion. So let's go. let's take things apart with how they're describing the issues in play. Okay. What do you want to tackle first?
Well, so Mr. Fahey put this in the sneak preview, and so he says these are the six reasons why he's running. giving away the Sportsman's Park valued at $1 million, okay?
So okay, okay, all right. Right there. So Pat Fahey starts out with a lie, a bald-faced
yes.
lie about the sports park, the Sportsman's Park. You were on my show and explained that for anything else other than a sportsman's park, because of all the lead, all of the lead that's in the land out there from all the years of firing, that the land is considered worthless for any other purpose.
Yeah, if you had to convert it to another purpose.
If you had to convert it to another purpose. So
that's right. Right. And you know, how that all started, it's kind of interesting. So how that all started is our parks, it was under parks. And our parks director come and said, well, we're in violation of a grant that we received back in the 80s for $11,000 for restrooms because we had constructed a cell tower and leased an acre of land to the cell company. That puts us in violation of the grant. Well, at that time, the commissioners didn't even know we owned the Sportsman Park. We thought we didn't even know that. And neither did our insurance company. And so when the insurance company found out, they said, look, we're not too interested in insuring a shooting range, and we would really, you could tell what they were alluding to.
In other words, if it's a nice county you have here, it'd be a shame if the sports park were to mess things up for you, right, as far as insurance,
yeah.
Right?
So we worked up this plan, and we because statute will let us give land to nonprofits. The Sportsman's Association was a nonprofit. We gave it to them, but we put a deed restriction in their bill that if they ever go defunct or they ever close it to the public, all that land reverts back to the county. So it was a way of getting out from under the liability, but yet continuing with the Sportsman Park exactly like it has been for over 40 years.
And this is where, people learn how to shoot and shoot responsibly. The police use it, too. Police and sheriff, I would imagine, use that range, too, right?
Oh, they're out there all the time. Multiple law enforcement agencies. And the Sportsman's Association has given them a very, very good deal on for them to use that Sportsman's Park. So it's just good for the community and everything. So, yeah, you know, the Courier's saying, it's the big giveaway, giveaway, giveaway. Yeah, we gave away the liability.
Yeah, and the thing is, you can't give it away for anything else because it would have taken so much mitigation if you were to have that being anything other than the Sportsman's Park and the shooting range. You would have to go there and completely replace the soil and do all sorts of other things to get rid of the lead.
It's kind of laughable because we're still mitigating this. We're in violation of this National Parks grant with $11,000 restrooms. So what we have to do is move that grant to another piece of property, okay, of equal value.
Uh-huh.
So then we have to hire this special Yellow Book appraiser, which was very expensive, to do the appraisal. They've been working on it for 3 years. So the preliminary appraisal, the appraiser says, well, I don't think there's any value here because of the, you know, if he ever had to mitigate the problem, there would be no value. And the National Park Service said, we can't accept that appraisal. That's an appraisal from their own appraisal.
Their own appraisal? They wouldn't accept the appraisal from their own appraiser?
There's no value there.
Oh.
I just did, after 3 years and all this money we've had to pay for this appraiser. So now the appraiser is going to go back and redo his appraiser. I'll tell you, Bill, you can't make this stuff up. It is crazy. Over $11,000 grant that was issued in the 80s.
This also shows to me the danger of counties and cities just stepping up to the trough all the time. You ever bother you? I mean, we can't pave our own streets unless we have the gangrene grant and put in bike lanes everywhere that they don't belong. You know, that kind of thing, right? We're always dancing to the tune of someone else. At least it seems that way.
Yeah.
All right.
So let's go down.
Yeah, the next list on the Pat Fahey claim tried to destroy the county library district, costing the taxpayers thousands in attorney's fees. All right.
Yeah. So there was a provision that you can opt out of a district. We got the process wrong. And as soon as it was brought to our attention that we got the process wrong, we said, no more. You can't get out of it. We're suspending any applications to get out of the district. But the library district, we suspended it. No more. We're not going to grant any until we figure this all out.
Yeah, but wasn't it the library district that went out and spent the money to fight
it? Right. There's no reason for them to go and hire attorneys. Now, always remember that Rachel, who's the vice president of the library, is an attorney. And I just wonder, isn't that interesting? Because there was absolutely no reason for them to spend one nickel, because as soon as it was brought to our attention, I made a motion that we suspend all applications, and both commissioners agreed. Since then, we have figured out the process. There is still a process to get out of the library district. I will tell you, it's a very high bar.
All right. So we'll set that one aside here. The next claim: the county commission paid Simon Hare over $3,000 with no documentation. I didn't realize you could just write checks out of the county. All you got to do is just, give Simon Hare $3,000 because he's a great guy.
Listen, we contract with people to do certain things for the county all the time, and we contracted with Simon Hare to work on some getting internet into the rural areas, and we paid him $3,000. That's not uncommon, Omen. And with no documentation, what does that mean? That's crazy.
Well, was it supposed to have been going out to a competitive bid? Maybe is that what Pat is implying?
I have no idea what he's implying. It was just Simon worked on this when he was commissioner. He's very well studied in this space, and so we needed some help. We hired him. He did his job. He did it well. He helped us very much, and we paid him $3,000.
Okay. We continue to go down the laundry list of crimes that the county commission has committed, according to a county commission candidate. The next one here: cut the budget to public health, forcing the loss of WIC services to over 1,200 women and children.
That's an absolute lie. WIC services is a federal program, women, infants, and children. It stands on its own. We can't cut WIC. I mean, WIC is WIC. It's a program. We administer it. So
is there something about if you have to adjust public health budgeting that they're not able to administer some money for WIC that you're on?
The money from WIC is supposed to pay for the administration. So, I don't know what he's talking about.
Okay.
You know,
this is the one that irritates me most of all, out of all the claims out of the Fahey campaign: rejected the sale of Pipe Fork to the BLM, costing the county over $2 million, the interest alone on which would have funded the county health deficit. Now, how many weeks have we talked about this Pipe Fork bullshit in which I just can't believe that there are people who will actually buy this kind of stuff. But, you know, I know that's the case. Pipe Fork, as you explained it to me, and I have no reason to doubt this because I was looking into this too. Well, of course, the most recent one was that Commissioner John West, rejected the Pipe Fork sale because he's got property there. And that was a lie too. You know, and we blew that up last week on the show, just going into it and looking a bit further into it. But What is, please explain the pipe fork debacle again. This is just, it's shaking my head over what gets passed around. It's truth.
Listen, the end of the story is, and you can rewind the tape and watch it, I said, I will sign the papers to sell the pipe fork to the nonprofit.
And then the nonprofit wants it to be taken over by the BLM, essentially.
Right.
Right.
And I said, look, I will sign it in a heartbeat as long as there's a deed restriction that says the property stays open to the public. Okay? I will sign it. I'll sign it tomorrow if there's a deed restriction. And they won't do it. Why would they not put a deed restriction to keep that public property open to the public?
Well, I'll tell you why the people that want you to sell pipe fork to them don't want that, because they don't want it open to the public. They want it locked up like everything else the gangrenes do. That's why.
Exactly. So, and then he says, the interest alone on which could be funded the county health deficit. No, Pat. No, Pat. We have statutes we have to live by, Mr. Fahey, and the statute says that money has to stay with our forestry, okay? And so the interest alone. What is he talking about? This guy does not understand government, and he's too lazy. You would think that a person running for office would spend some time and read the county policy, read the county charters, have an understanding how things work. You can't just take money from over here and move it over there. We have statutes and policies that we have to follow. Hmm.
Josephine County Commissioner Bearchigger with me. Like I said, going through claims that even though I don't have a dog in the fight, I just know this stuff's not true. A lot of it's not true. So, what about the recall petition that Lily Morgan, of course, former Democrat, now calls herself a Republican? I am surprised that they're going after John West, of all people, because, well, I guess it's because, you're going to be gone, and Dandy Young's gone, right? You know, so that's probably the way they're looking at it. They want any other people off the board who are currently there. What's really running this? What's running that?
So they anticipate that Pat Fahey and Colleen Martin are their picks for the two positions. So they anticipate they're going to win. And if they get rid of West, then those two will vote another very liberal person in. And now they'll have three liberal people in the county commission. That's what they're hoping for. That is the plan and the strategy.
Oh, okay. Interesting strategy. All right.
Yep.
Well, duly noted here. We appreciate that. And all right. You said that you were actually out there at the recall booth the other day. What happened? It was kind of an interesting conversation.
Well, I asked one person why they were recalling Mr. West. And he said, of all the bad things that he's doing to the county. And I said, could you be more specific? And he couldn't. So that was... The other gentleman, great guy to talk to. We talked about the Sportsman's Park, and when I told him the whole story and history of it, he looked at me and he said, well, I never read that in the Courier. And I said, no, you never will. Mm-hmm. And then we talked about Pipe Fork, and he was very concerned over the Flying Lark. And I said, he says, that thing's worth $50 million. I said, no. I said, Mr. Boersma put $50 million in it. It's a very specific use building, and to convert it to something usable for something else is going to cost a lot of money. And so we've had this offer for $10 million. I said, sir, that's a $10 million gift to the county, $10 million gift. And I said, we have set up an endowment type of instrument that the money will go into, and the fairgrounds will be able to use the interest, which is somewhere around $500,000 a year in perpetuity forever to support the fairgrounds. And he looked at me and he said, that's a great idea. He says, I never read that in the Courier, and he never will. I said, sir, the Courier hates my guts. They've always hated my guts, even when I was in the Senate, because I'm a conservative, and they will never write one good thing to say about any of my accomplishments.
Hmm.
And he just shook his head, and he goes, this country. And he just shook his head.
Herman, I wanted to talk to you, though, that the challenge that Josephine County is arguably in a much more precarious financial position than Jackson County. Fair enough? You'll agree with me on that.
That's because our tax rate is so low, and the reason it was so low at the time that tax rate was solidified with Measure 5 and Measure 50. Is it 50? Yeah, anyway.
Was it 58 cents a thousand? I think is all you were, right?
You're right. And the reason it was solidified at that and set at that low rate is because we were getting millions and millions and millions of dollars from timber receipts, royalties from the Forest Service. It's built everything. You know, I was out at the Illinois Valley High School yesterday with Congressman Bentz, and I mentioned, I said, this high school was spent with timber dollars. They built three high schools, Bill, at one time in Josephine County. Illinois Valley, Hidden Valley, and North Valley High Schools. They built them all timber dollars. And then the timber dollars went away, and we're stuck at 59 cents.
Hmm. Herman, I'm going to suggest something, and you're probably not going to like me for suggesting this, because I know you don't necessarily agree with things, though. You could probably use, I'm talking about Josephine County, could use some creative financing. The one thing I will say about the county administrator, the hired gun, Danny Jordan, is that he's pretty good at finding ways to finance stuff and change things around that seem to work. Has the county ever thought, now that he's a independent contractor, you know, he's working with Jackson County, you ever thought about buying some time with that guy and seeing if there's something that the current board's missing?
Well, you also have to remember, is he's starting at a much better place than we are, Bill. Okay? He's starting with $2.50-some.
I get it.
Plus, the tax base is three times or four times as big. So it's kind of like Howard Hughes, you know?
Comparison, but there are amazing ways of finagling the finances that might be able to help Josephine County. I'm just wondering, has anyone ever reached out to him and maybe just bought a few hours of time as a contractor?
Well, he's working for Jackson County.
I don't think he's exclusively for Jackson County, though.
Well, I don't know.
Huh.
But, you know, I've talked to Danny Jordan, you know, about some issues. I don't know. I mean, we're consolidating departments right now, and we're streamlining things. And, you know, we have to live within that budget. We have to live within it's about $180 million, down $11 million from last year. It's going to be down next year, so mm-hmm. We're already preparing for that. And I think we're going to be just fine. You know, if the taxpayers want more services, then they're just going to have to pay more money, just like Jackson County residents are. But so far, I haven't heard that, okay?
All right.
That is not the call I've heard. It's about money. And if we had $2.50, yeah, things would look a lot different around here. But that's not what the taxpayers are telling us in Josephine County, Bill.
All right. Hey, Herman, always appreciate the call and the talk, and we'll catch you around next time, okay? Thank you so much.
You take care. See you next week.
All right. Josephine County Commissioner Herman Bairdsugar, Shade Before 8, KMED, KMED, HD1, Eagle Point, Medford. And KBXG Grants Pass.
Here's Lisa with Kelly's Automotive Service for Just-In-Time Appliance.